Remember when you were a kid and you first learned the word infinity? Infinity is kind of a cool symbol because it was that sideways eight. That was kind of neat, you know, and you always wanted to think of just the biggest number you possibly can. And you know, when you're real young, it's like, oh, it's a million or 100. Then you learn that infinity was even bigger than that. And sometimes when you're having a fight with your sister or your brother or something, you know, and you're trying to say, you know, oh, no, well, you're ugly. No, you're ugly. No, you're ugly. Infinity, infinity. As if you were just kind of to keep saying it over and over again. Every once in a while I said, you know, some of those things I said are still going on. That's infinity, infinity. That's a very, very long time. Well, as you're a kid, you have no idea what infinity is. And in fact, as adults, we really don't have a very good concept of what infinity is. It's big. That's all we know. But our minds are so limited. We're such a spatial people that we don't really understand what infinity is. Well, tonight we're going to study another aspect of God, another attribute of God, and that is that God is infinite. God is infinite. Well, what does that mean? Again, this summer we have been studying the attributes of God. We are endeavoring this summer to know who is God. To learn in our heads and in our hearts who our Lord God Almighty is, so that we might glorify Him more. And we're doing that by studying who is God, or answering the question, what is God? Last week we looked at God is a spirit. And this evening we are looking at God is infinite. God is infinite. Well, what does that mean? Well, God is infinite means that God is unlimited and unlimitable. It's not really a word, I know, but God is unlimitable. And that has to do with space, with time, with God's knowledge and His wisdom, and with God's power. That there is no limiting of God. There is, in regard to space, there is no place in which God is not in all of creation. With regard to time, God is not, He didn't all of a sudden appear one day. God has always been. That will twist your mind around as you start to try to wrap your brain around that. That, well, what was before, God must have started sometime. No, He didn't. God is outside of time. With respect to His knowledge, there is nothing that God does not know. God knows everything. Not only what actually is, but what could have been. God knows everything. Everything. And with respect to His power, He is all powerful. Sometimes we call these that God is omnipresent, means He is everywhere in regard to space and time. God is omniscient, He knows everything. And God is omnipotent, meaning He is all powerful. He is all powerful. God is infinite. And He cannot be limited. Yes, folks, as VeggieTales teaches us, God is indeed bigger than the boogeyman. Yes, He is. God is infinite. Well, let's look at the scriptures this evening to see where we get that from. I should have made a comment last week as we started looking at this, that as we're looking at the scriptures, we are looking at only a handful. We're going to look at six quick passages this evening seven passages that look at God is infinite here. But there are hundreds of passages. And if you want more information on this, please talk to me. I'll gladly share with you. We just don't have time to cover all of them in the scriptures this evening. But we're going to look at seven of them. The first one we're going to look at is Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 139. Looking at God is infinite. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. This is a beautiful psalm that many of us know. This is going to speak of God is infinite with respect to space, that there is no place where God is not. In other words, God is everywhere. Psalm 139, verse 7. David writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The psalmist is on one hand scared, but on the other hand rejoicing in the fact that there is nowhere that he can go to escape God. Wherever he is, God is there. Next, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Jeremiah 23, 24. If you open your Bibles about in the middle, you tend to get to Isaiah. You might hit Psalms. Look at that. I hit Ecclesiastes. Well, you'll get about Isaiah or so. If you get there, just go to the right a little bit. You go past Isaiah, and then you'll get on to Jeremiah. And we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. The prophet Jeremiah writes the words that God spoke to him and says, "Can anyone hide in secret places so that I, God, cannot see him?" declares the Lord. "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" declares the Lord. There's nowhere that we can go to hide. There's no place we can keep a secret from God. Why? Because God is infinite. God is in all space. There's nowhere we can go to run from God. For some of us, that's terrifying. For some of us, that is joy and peace. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Next, please turn back to Psalms. We'll go to Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. I love this Bible workout, guys. I love those pages. Man, it's beautiful. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. This is going to speak about His omnipresence also, but now not about space, but about time. About time. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. "Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or You brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God." See, in our minds, we think of a timeline, right? So a timeline, we think of, you know, well, there must have been the day when everything happened. Right? I mean, it was creation. We think of Genesis 1:1, the day creation happened. Well, the day before, and there was no day, God existed. And in fact, for infinity the other way, infinity, infinity, God existed. From everlasting before, God existed. And from everlasting to forever in the future, God is. God is. Next, please turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Matthew chapter 10. It gets harder when the pages are sticky, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Here we're going to see that God is infinite in His knowledge and what He knows. And that His will, His knowledge and His wisdom and His will, as they're all wrapped up into one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Says that not a sparrow, he's referring to sparrows here, not one of them, sparrows, will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. So nothing happens in all of creation that is outside of God's will. God's very will is infinite. He knows what's going to happen. His will is what's happening, and it cannot be changed. It cannot be stopped. Not even a sparrow falling out of the sky. God is infinite in His knowledge. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Romans chapter 11. Romans is right after the book of Acts. You should all be able to find the book of Acts by now, I think. I hope. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. This is Paul is writing to the church at Rome here now. He has just written in chapter, really 9, 10, 11, but especially in chapter 11 there, he has written some very, very difficult, very challenging theology. Those three chapters are some of the most difficult, theologically rich chapters of the Bible, and coming out of that, coming out of one of the most the deepest theological discussions in the Bible, what happens? Paul doesn't. It's not just dry and boring. Coming out of deep theology, Paul goes into what's called a doxology. Paul opens up in praise to God. That's what we're doing here this summer, about knowing God. We are seeking to know God so that in our heads and in our hearts, so that from that knowledge will spring forth from us praise and glory to our Father, which is what we are created for. Here is the doxology that Paul writes about, and beginning in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. How unsearchable are the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. God knows everything. He is omniscient in His knowledge. Back to Psalms, chapter of Psalm 147, verse 5. Psalm 147, verse 5. Just two more here. This is talking about His power and His omniscience. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. No limit. And finally, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, speak of God's power. We see God call Himself here. This is God's own name He will speak to for Himself. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Almighty. We blow by that word too quickly. But break it down, right? All might, all powerful. God is almighty. Our God is infinite. Is infinite. He is infinite with respect to space. There is no place in our houses, in this country, in this world, in this universe, beyond the universes, there is no place where God is not. With respect to time, God is not part of time. God is outside of time. Like think of a parade going by, okay? For us, when we watch a parade, we're standing down on the street side and we see it go by and we see the beginning go by and it flow by us, and then as time goes on, right, we then see, you know, maybe first we see the trumpets and the baton people, and then come the folks who are riding in the cars. They get the cushy jobs there, you know, and then a little later on you might have some clowns who are juggling, and then a little more time goes by and yeah, the elephants are always at the end, and they go by, you know, and then it's over there, right? So that's our view of time there. But for God, time is like, it's like if God is riding up on the blimp, right, looking down at the parade. And God, in the same instant, can see the beginning. He can see the baton twirls and the trumpets, and He can see the elephants, and He can see everything in between there. He's not down at the street level watching it go by. He is beyond time. God's not 1 year older this year than He was last year. He's outside of time. He is infinite. He's infinite in His knowledge. There is nothing He does not know. And He is infinite in His power for all that is logical for Him to do. And that last one, in God's power, God is infinite in His power, with that can come some objections. If God is infinite in His power, then can He make a triangle with four corners on it? Can He go back on His promises? Can He sin? Can God destroy Himself? Can He make a rock so big that He can't lift it? Exactly. Exactly. If our God is all powerful, if our God is infinite, can He do these things? Well, when we speak of God being infinite, when we speak of God's omnipotent power, of Him being infinite in all things, in space and time and knowledge and His power, it does not mean that He can or will do arbitrary things. It does not mean that He can act contrary to His nature. So, for example, sin. Can He sin? No. That's contrary to His nature. That does not make Him not infinite. He is still infinite and yet cannot sin. He is still infinite and yet cannot destroy Himself. He also is not going to do and cannot do the absurd or the illogical things, like make a triangle with four corners, or make a rock so big that He then can't lift it. These things are philosophical arguments that have been brought to try to shoot down the theory of who God is. But God is not in the business of doing the absurd. God is not going to do anything. When we speak of God being infinite, we don't mean He can do things that are contrary to His nature. But these apparent inabilities of God, these apparent limitations of God, they are not weaknesses. They are, in fact, strengths. The inability to do evil, or to lie, or to fail, is a mark of positive strength rather than failure. That's a quote from Erickson, Millard Erickson, theologian and author. These apparent inabilities, they are strengths. That God cannot do evil, that God cannot lie, these are positive, wonderful things. When we speak of God being infinite, He does not act contrary to His nature. He is infinite. Well, what are the implications of this? See, we're delving into some things here this summer that, if left just to themselves, may to some seem a little dry and a little detached. But we always have to say, okay, what do the Scriptures teach us? And then what does that mean in our lives? How does that impact our lives? What are the implications of this? We have looked, again, very quickly at God is infinite. So what's the big deal? How does that impact our lives? How does it impact us, as Tim says, as we go to work tomorrow, or as we get up tomorrow, and we associate with our friends and our neighbors and our colleagues? What does it mean that God is infinite? Well, number one, it means that God is with us wherever we go. If God is infinite, that there is nowhere you are going to go this week that God is not going to be. When Elijah was confronting the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal were trying to conjure, trying to get their god, the god Baal, to light the offering on fire automatically, Elijah was taunting them, right? Because their god wasn't real, wasn't doing anything. And part of his taunt was saying, you know, maybe you should shout louder because maybe he's busy right now. Or maybe your God is on a journey somewhere. Well, the implication of that is saying that maybe your God isn't here right now. Maybe your God is somewhere else. And if he's somewhere else, he can't be here. That's not the case with God. If someone in China is praying to God and God is conversing with them, God is still here. God is still with you wherever you are. There is nowhere we can go where God is not. God is everywhere. And guess what? Satan is limited. Satan is not everywhere. Satan is limited. He and his demons are limited. They cannot be everywhere at the same time. God is everywhere. Therefore, what does this mean? Well, therefore, first, we must be aware and be careful when we think we are sinning in private. There is no private sin. There is nowhere we can go. We can't go and hide in our closets and sin and think that God does not see us. God does see. Wherever we are, God sees and God knows. And that's the part where it can be scary. But secondly, the therefore is that we are never alone. Friends, we are never alone. No matter where we are or what's going on, we are not alone. God is there with us. Number two, second implication that God is infinite. It's that God does not get surprised. Because God is outside of time, He is not bound by time, there are no surprises for God. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow just the exact same way He knows what happened yesterday. To Him, both are the same. His will that He unfolds is not bound by temporal sequences of things. He does not make His decisions based upon, you know, make a decision today and then tomorrow something happens and He goes, oh, I got to change my decision because I didn't know that was going to happen. No. When He sets His will in place, it is with all of eternity in mind. He cannot be surprised. Therefore, our future is secure. When God says that if we come to Him through Christ, our sins are forgiven and we are born again and we will spend eternity in heaven, there is nothing that's going to happen between now and eternity that's going to change that. Because God knows all that's going to happen. Our future in Christ is secure. Number three, we can trust God to know what's best. We really, truly can. If God knows everything, we can trust Him. Even when we don't understand what's going on, we can trust God because He knows every detail of every situation. And for some of us, we're walking through some things right now that aren't making a whole lot of sense. Okay? In this world, aside from God, cancer doesn't make sense. It's not right. And somehow, in the midst of that, God knows. He knows what you're going through. And He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And therefore, even though we don't understand it, because God knows, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Therefore, God knows all of our deepest sorrows and fears and pains. There is no tear that you have shed that God does not know the cause of it. There is no turmoil that you have not wrestled with that God does not know about. God knows all your fears and pains. And therefore, we can truly trust Him, even when everything else looks hopeless. And finally, what does it mean that God is infinite? It means that God's will is never frustrated, is never destroyed, is never changed. God's will is permanent and will stand. What He wills to do, He does, because He's all-powerful. God doesn't go, gee, I really wish I could save some people, but I just don't have the strength to do that. I just don't have the power. I really, really wish I could help you with your sorrows and your fears. I really wish I could help you in this moment now. I wish I could help you in your marriage. I really wish I could help you take care of your kids. I don't have the strength. No way! That is not God. If God wills it, it's done. Because He is all-powerful. And once again, Satan is not all-powerful. Remember with Job? I like to think if Satan had to go to God and say, can I pick on Job? He couldn't go do it himself. He had to go to God first to get that done. And God said, sure, because God knew the blessing was going to come. He knew what He was doing. Satan is not all-powerful. God's will is never frustrated. Therefore, God will accomplish His will. Satan is defeated. It's going to happen. Heaven is assured for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's going to happen because God is all powerful. And therefore, we can turn to God when we are weak or tired or scared, when we are frail. We can turn to God because He is strong. He is all strong. God is infinite. Let your mind wander around in that for a while. As as you leave here, when it comes to the spaces, as you get in your car, as tonight, as I endeavor to honor my family and love them, and I pray I will, that God is there. That God is with us today, tomorrow, and forever, because He's infinite in regard to time. That God is infinite in regard to knowledge. He knows all. He knows what you are going through. And God is all powerful. God is infinite. We are finite. That's a good thing. That's peace. That's peace. Let's pray. Father God, only You can take something that may seem philosophical and turn it into the most precious, peace-giving, life-giving truth, promise. Because You are infinite, we can face tomorrow. Because You are infinite, we can have peace, and we can rest, and we can have joy. Because You are infinite. Thank You, Father God, for who You are. We pray to You through Christ our Savior. Amen and amen. With the ushers